And now we are recording. So, please could you just start by saying your name?
My name is Linda Hayes, nay Constable, because I arrived as Constable.
Okay. And I'm going to start, I need to get out my list, here we go. I'm going to start by talking to you about how you got interested in this subject in the first place. So going back to your very early life, what was it that first led you to become interested in computing?
I didn't know anything about computers until I got a degree, and the careers officer suggested, as I'd got a maths degree, that, and I didn't want to teach, full stop, my mother was a school teacher, so you can take that out. So the careers officer suggested, I didn't want to do any of the normal sort of accountancy or anything like that, suggested, had I heard about computers? And I said, vaguely. And they said, how about going on a postgraduate computer course?
Let's just take you back a step then. So so I hadn't known about your the fact that you'd been a mathematician. So let's go back to your schooling, because I mean, for girls at the time, well, actually, even still, it's quite unusual.
I've got to start, if I'm going that far back, my father was in the RAF.
Yes.
So I went to 7 schools because we moved around.
I had the same experience, although I only went to 5. Yes.
My father was a navigator in Bomber Command during the Second World War, and when he was demobbed, he promptly signed up because they needed people to continue the Air Force, and so that's how. And he's very good with maths and everything. So we were in a sort of area that I moved around, so I had to get used to going to new places all the time. So when I went to university, I was just moving school again, and I was appalled by these girls at university who had never left the hometown.
Which university did you go to?
The first one, I've spent all my life in university.
Yeah.
The first university that I got for my degree in mathematics was Exeter in Devon, because my parents lived in London and I wanted to get far away from them but not go north. So I got a 2:1 in mathematics with a subsidiary subject of philosophy. Now, this was all beautiful for computers later on, because the bit of philosophy that I did was Venn diagrams and
logic. Mathematical logic, yes.
So I when I actually got to university, I knew all the logic bits about computers. And so I got my maths degree, and it was suggested that computing will be something you might want to go in. And there were 2 places in Britain that did the universities, the maths course. One was Cambridge and the other was Manchester Institute of Technology. But I decided to try, what's MIT in the States? I thought, if I'm going into this, and I will apply to what I thought was the best place to go.
In the world, yes.
But I didn't get into MIT. I also applied for 3 jobs with computer companies. I got an offer from IBM to work in their research place in Hursley. And I got an offer from ICL. And I got an offer from Cambridge. So I took to go and do the course, which was called the Diploma in Numerical Analysis and Automatic Computing. Nowadays, it would have been a master's degree.
Yes, yes.
But it was a diploma.
Yeah.
And
that was about 1960? I'm just...
64.
64 you were starting.
64, yeah. 65. It's a one-year course.
Yes.
On the old Atlas computer.
They had an Atlas in Cambridge? Or, yes, right. Because there were only three Atlases altogether, weren't there?
They built their first computer from Bletchley Park.
That was the EDSAC that came.
EDSAC, yes. So yes. EDSAC was there. I worked on both EDSAC and Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I got into it, interesting.
Yes. Yes.
So I did my computer course and passed. I don't know whether you pass or fail or what, but. And then I saw this job in Oxford.
Mm, mm. Let's just talk a little bit more about the technology, because I'm interested in that. So EDSAC was valve-based, and still it had this mercury delay line storage, didn't it? Certainly.
I don't think at that time I was rightly bothered.
So your course didn't involve much to do with the hardware. It did.
It told us all about the different things that it could be, computers could be made of.
Yes.
But that bit went, hardware went in and out of my mind. it was very obvious that I, when I got to Cambridge, that, you know, I was a mathematician and I worked on the machines. We had, EDSAC was a valve machine.
It was originally. I mean, whether they managed to change the storage later. I only know about EDSAC back in the late 40s when it was first built, because the Leo computer, which I wrote a book about, was a copy of the EDSAC.
Right.
But that's back in the early 50s. So by the early 60s, they could well have changed some of its storage to something a bit more advanced.
Because one of the things I can remember is the men going around with little rubber hammers tapping all the valves.
Yes, yes.
I can remember that.
Yes.
So one of the machines there was a valve machine.
Mm, mm.
So that must have been there.
That would have been it.
And
what about the kind of language you were using to program the computers? Had any...
Autocode?
Autocode, yes.
Don't ask me what autocode is now.
Mm.
That's what I learnt there.
Mm.
And I also... Did I learn Algol there? Or did I learn Algol when I got to Oxford?
I don't know the dates well enough to know which of those that would be, but that was the next thing after autocode, was it?
Well, it was a mixed mathematical thing,
because
there were these business things as well. But, I mean, we had lectures and we were told about the business software and things, because I knew I was going... to stay on the math side, I thought. So
you got your diploma.
I got the diploma, and I don't know. I think that the Cambridge Computing Laboratory must have pointed out, because my parents lived in Oxford.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so Oxford was my hometown.
Mm.
I was born in Oxford.
Mm.
I think through the actual computing service, they pointed out this job. And I'd actually written to IBM and said, I'm going on this course in Cambridge. Would the job still be there if I wanted to come a year later. Mm. And they said, oh, yes, please, because presumably that helps them. And so I knew that job was there, and somebody in the department, I think, said you might be interested in this job. And I looked at it, and it's my hometown. Mm. Well, my parents live there now because my father had retired from the armed forces. They lived on Cumnor Hill. So I came for an interview, and I got it. I don't know how many people were there, because Leslie Fox did not use a computer. The nearest to computer he got was an adding machine and a winding a handle. And I was the new thing to do his computing on.
Oh, I see. Right.
I was employed as the departmental research assistant. Mm-hmm. And I can remember John Rollitt also being at the interview. David Mayers. Have you come across David Mayers? Well, he was another. These were all numerical analysts of a sort.
Yes.
I mean, John was a chemical crystallographer. David was a mathematician, but in numerical analysis. Mm. So I got the job. I left Cambridge. I must have got the job before. They must have known I was going to pass the diploma because I think I had the interview before I finished the course. Mm. And my job was departmental research assistant, doing anything on the computer for Leslie Fox and anybody else in the department, and doing numerical things like checking Leslie Fox's, proofreading Leslie Fox's latest book. They're about this thick, and you have to wade through checking all the equations and everything. And sort of helping users on the computer that was then the KDF-9.
Right. And so who were the users?
Mainly physicists and chemists. Computing in the arts hadn't been thought of at the time.
No.
So it was mainly numerical analysis. But I got so keen on helping and teaching people to use computers. So when the... I'm jumping a bit. When the computing lab split, I moved to the computing service on in the new building.
Right. Where was when you first started working? Where was
the old engineering building?
All right. Yes.
That was the second home. The Mercury, which was still there, was in South Parks Road under the what is now the last building on the right before the bend.
Oh, well, that's now zoology psychology, but that wasn't there then.
No. Yes. There was a row of Victorian houses,
right,
all the way down South Parks Road, yes, and they gradually got eaten.
Yes.
And but the Mercury, that wasn't the first place there was computers, by the way, if you want the history, because in Dorothy Hodgson's day, it was in the basement of the road that runs down the side of Keeble? No.
Keeble Road?
Is that Keeble Road? It was in the base. Is there another road going off to the right?
Museum Road? That's very tiny, and it goes round the back of Keeble, opposite the museum, and it turns right.
It might have been Museum Road. There was a building. I can find that out because I've got that on the computer. Mm. There was a building that had a basement and some mechanical computing equipment.
The Hollerith machines
were down there in the basement of that building at the end of Museum Road, or Keeble Road, it would mean Museum Road. But prior to that, Dorothy Hodgkins had something in the another building nearby. These were the Dorothy Hodgkins bit, which you should have found out when you were doing a book.
Well, I mean, she did the computing for vitamin B12, which she did in the early 50s, was all done in California. She was posting her data across the Atlantic and getting it done in California. She didn't have anything. She didn't have an electronic computer. She had these Hollerith machines. And the Brunsweiger calculator.
They're a giant calculator.
Yeah.
And so that was the first equipment, was Dorothy's, and she had it in two places. Before the Mercury, which was the first computer.
Yes.
Went into South Parks Road, in the basement of South Parks Road.
Okay.
And it was still there when I arrived in 1964.
Did you say you did your course from 64?
Sorry, 65. Yep. Yeah. 64, 65 in Cambridge.
Mm.
So I was in 65. It was still there, but I never went to see it. It wasn't my job. It's an old computer. I was there for the new computer.
Yeah.
Which it was in the red brick engineering building, the old engineering building.
That's on the kind of point of the yes.
Parks Road and
Bamboo Road. Yes,
the red brick, and we didn't have it all. We had a big room on the ground floor. There were engineers in some of the rooms there, and. I sort of ran a help desk from my office on the first floor. And there were the three ladies that, the ladies that ran the computer. I didn't have anything to do with the computer physically.
Right.
You punched your cards or punched your paper tape and put it in one night, and if you were lucky, you got an answer back the next day.
And it was three ladies who did their, who actually fed the cards and the tape through the computer.
I cannot remember that those would have been the original. Where are you finding yours from? Because the three ladies might have been on the Mercury machine.
They would have been on the Mercury machine in 1957. Whenever it was.
Yeah.
But by 1964, I don't know. I haven't looked at all the annual reports. I only looked at the first one, which I think was 59. But all the others are there, so I can look at the later ones.
And they were in my archive cupboard as well.
I did look at one or two of the later ones, but Leslie Fox seemed to have stopped specifying who was there. I think he sort of assumed by that time you knew who was there.
Well, we were getting...
There wasn't a section on staffing anymore.
No, it growed. I mean, when I was there, I was the only non-academic post.
Right.
Except for the people in the machine room.
Yeah.
And John Rollett looked after the machine room.
Okay.
He was the director of the computer.
I see, yes.
Because he was the nearest thing that, you know, he'd been calculating.
Mm.
And so he was the first director before Leslie Fox.
But people who actually physically put the tapes... But the people who did that were women. Your recollection is that those were women who did
there
that.
There might have been the odd man there because there's some heavy lifting to do. Like getting boxes of paper and feeding them into printers and things.
Yeah.
But that they were women there and...
But it was, I mean, I'm quite interested that was seen as a woman's job, indeed a girl's, because that's what it said on the application, girl's job to do that kind of thing. Yeah.
That was the sort of job women would do with run the computer then. But there were they were called operators by that time, computer operators.
Yes, instead of computers, which is what they were called to begin with, which must have been confusing.
I mean, when we find this list, we can go and have a look on my computer upstairs, because I can just put it up on the screen. Mm. So my job was working for Leslie Fox and the other people, but David Mayers, and you don't know David Mayers, and but you know John Rollett. Mm. And there were students there as well. One of the famous ones around, which will pop up with Nag, is Joan Walsh. You come across her?
I've come across her name.
Yeah.
But she's no longer with us, is she?
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid...
No, I think she's the one who... she just died last December. I think I'm right in saying... I'm getting slightly confused with all the people I've been
you
looking
see,
at.
You see, I've lost contact with Brian Ford and everybody. I still know one person from NAC.
No, I think Joan Walsh is the one who we didn't, when we started working on this, we didn't know, but we discovered that she just died last December.
Well, she was considerably older than me.
Yes. And she was one of the students.
And she was a DPhil student.
Yes.
PhD, which university am I at? Having worked
in both,
I get the terms wrong. But she was there, but she wasn't really into computing. She was at that time, but she was there as a student. So
I think yes, I took you round a long loop, a long detour. But I was asking you about the users, and you said they came from physics and chemistry mostly.
The users mainly came from physics and chemistry, and mathematics. And I used to help them. And I at the time there, I started collecting a library of algorithms for numerical analysis on the computer.
So what sort of thing, for the benefit of a complete non-mathematician, what kind of operations would the algorithms be doing? If you could just give me a couple of examples.
Do you know, I've forgotten all my math. They were doing linear algebra. Mm-hmm. Which is I now wondered how I managed to get all these degrees and things without knowing a lot about the mathematics. I didn't understand when I got a 2-1 what, because I didn't understand half the course I did. I was either a good bluffer or I was better than I thought I was, because mathematics degrees, all sorts of things. I learnt my numerical analysis at Cambridge, so I knew that algorithms existed for people to do things, and calculations of fluids flowing and things like that. So I started collecting a little library of things. At that time, there were no other computers, but very soon all the engineering departments and things started getting computers, because Leslie Fox was anti departments getting computers, because we were the computing service. He didn't understand computers. He understood them even less than I did. So I collected things that might be useful to the users, and I had an office, and anybody who had a problem with their programming could come up and see me. It wasn't initially in my spec to look after the users. Mm. I was supposed to be looking after the academics. But I was gradually thinking and that I really wasn't a mathematician. And that I like helping people. And so when the split came, I chose to go with the computing service.
Right.
But I was already doing NAG.
So let's go back to the beginning of NAG. So, I mean, one question that raises is, what kind of a community was there nationally of people who were using computers?
We had communications at the computer level with the other universities.
All right.
This is how NAG came apart. Mm. Because Jim Wilkinson, have you come across Jim Wilkinson?
No.
He was at the National Physical Laboratory,
yeah,
and a great friend of Leslie Fox's. And they were the two numerical analysts. But Jim Wilkinson could write programs. Leslie could never write programs. And we had...
Oh dear, sorry, your microphone's dropped off.
Ah. Sorry.
Not sorry.
I don't know how much you've missed.
It will have caught it, it'll just be a little bit further away. But if you can try to avoid doing that, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So, we had a group of KDF9 users. KDF9 universities that used to meet.
At roughly how many universities? I mean, are we talking
half a dozen?
Half a dozen, yeah. Mm.
And Brian Ford was at Nottingham, and he knew that I'd been collecting bits, and he knew that National Physical Laboratory had things, and he proposed with the other people, Joan Walsh was one, mm-hmm, to collect and put together these programs. Initially, we were using existing ones, but so I was one of the founder members, mm-hmm, of NAG, and I stayed active until I moved away from Leslie Fox,
mm-hmm,
and then I ceased to be a mathematician. But I'm still a founder member of NAG.
Yes, of course, yes.
When I retired, I gave up going to... Do you know anything about other people in NAG, other than Brian
Ford?
Well,
the other person I'm trying to get hold of is Shirley Lill, as was, and now she's called Shirley Carter.
When we started, I was constable, but I got married 65,
mm-hmm,
66.
But those are the four names that I know about: Brian Ford, you, Joan Walsh, and Shirley Lill stroke Carter.
No, there was...
No?
There's more than that. Peter from up north.
Well, Shirley was from Leeds, wasn't she, originally? Was there somebody else?
Yes, there was somebody from... Joan Walsh was Manchester.
Yeah.
I've got a contact that I still communicate with from NAG, who has literally just retired from NAG. And I can get the... Brian Ford was the leading person. He had this idea that we all got the same machines, mm, and we ought to pool our resources. And originally it was called the Nottingham Algorithms Group, because it was at Nottingham and we always used to go up to Nottingham.
Mm.
And then I politically don't know how it came that Leslie Fox got the Nottingham Elgarums group into Oxford. Because I wasn't of a suitable high enough rank to know what was going on. I was just one of the people doing the work. And it got moved to Oxford. And it changed its name from the Nottingham Algorithm Group to the Numerical Algorithm Group. And eventually went... it was no longer... It was no longer anything to do with the university. It went private.
Yeah. So can you remember how long... I mean, it's something we can look up, but can you remember how long it stayed to do with Oxford University as opposed to a private not-for-profit?
It was initially, when it moved down here, it was... I could go to the AGMs and everything.
No, it's all right. It's something that
I can put you in contact with somebody who's just retired from them. Because I don't know whether Brian Ford's... I don't know whether any of the... Who's still alive and who isn't.
But what did it consist of when you say it moved from Nottingham to Oxford? What was it, just an address? I mean, would people write and say, you know, what have you got? Or was it kept on a computer? Was it, could it be accessed remotely at that stage? No. So what would somebody do if they wanted a particular algorithm?
They would write to the Nottingham group, and they would send you cards, tape, magnetic tape.
And when it came to Oxford, who was running that?
Brian Ford.
Oh, I see. Right.
Brian moved with it.
I see.
As the director.
I see. Yes.
He was the leader there, and the rest of us were all equals. And we did our bit. Linear algebra was what software was what I was working on.
Yeah.
Shirley Lil was working on something else.
So you were constantly developing new algorithms and adding them to the library.
No. When I took the one of the problems is there at this stage there were two languages to write arithmetic stuff in it, Fortran and Algol, and the National Physical Laboratory had done all this brilliant work with Wilkinson. And what I did was took Wilkinson's work and translated it into Fortran.
I see.
Because that Algol was becoming
outdated.
So me and one of the girls that worked with me, we transcribed, in effect, from one language to another, and got those ready for NAC. So we didn't do any original. I didn't do any original work. Because I really wasn't a numerical analyst. But the two of us worked on this for NAC. She was helping with the computer now. She wasn't she was another mathematician. I think she had a maths degree, working in the computing service, because we needed people to help people. So she and I were sort of the help system.
And is this after the split of the two? Or was this after the computing service had split off from the computing laboratory? I'm just trying to line up the... NAG history with the history of what was going on in Oxford and when it was one or two.
I was still doing some things after I effectively had taken over the user services on the new building.
And that was that 13 Bambi Road? Did you move into Bambi Road at that stage? Or
that was the row, the first one, second one. and there was a computer building at the back. We gradually moved down the row and got them all, but it didn't.
Sorry, which row are we talking about? Which road?
Banbury Road.
Oh, yeah, we are talking about Banbury Road. Yes.
When we started, they gutted the garden and built a computer building at the back of the two houses. Did we have two or three? We didn't have them all. We had two or three, and we had a computer room and an area for the users, and we did courses and things like that. Mm. Now we'd expanded. So I did. At that stage, after that, I really did not do very much more for NAC.
I see. Yes.
I'd completed the Wilkinson stuff, and I didn't do original coding. I just checked all the coding and other people's and things like that.
Mm, mm.
But I gave up NAC when I started running user services.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking, Susan was there and independent.
Susan Hockey.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because she was this one person computer in the arts person, who she wasn't really part of the computing service.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, and she didn't like being put under me, so I just left her to do her own thing, because I can't do, I don't know nothing about computing in the arts, so I was just nominally her head because of the hierarchy.
Yes, yes.
She had to be put somewhere. And I had Carol Bateman took over all the teaching eventually, and we had a building in opposite the bus station.
George Street?
Pardon?
George Street?
George Street. At one stage we'd run out of space, and we got the George Street building, which I don't know what it was before we had it. I know what it was a long time ago, because my father worked there in the co-op when he was at school. And that's a long time ago, so that building was there when he was at school, because he was at school in Boys School.
Oxford Boys.
Oxford Boys.
Because Oxford Boys was just down there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the history faculty now.
Yes. So my father was born not in Oxford, but in Oxfordshire. But so Carol Bateman, Susan was already there, and when we moved across, Carol Bateman came. I can work out the dates, but she took over all the teaching, and basically I just ran. I had about 45 people in the end.
Good heavens, that's a big department. So when you say teaching, this wasn't teaching for university degrees.
It no,
teaching to get people up to speed.
Because I started off by helping the users.
Yes.
And then I developed one or two courses for the users.
Mm.
And then it developed into a whole separate branch of the computing service.
Yeah.
The teaching. And it had eventually a big room at the back of the rundown the Banbury Road, and we've got them all by now.
Yeah.
I can't work out. I have the history somewhere, because I was dealing with the surveyor, and I got surveyor's maps and all sorts of things when I was doing the history. And anything I got from the surveyor is on my computer.
Right.
But because I noticed that I have this thing called OUCS, which it was because I turned myself into a local historian after I retired. So you will find me on other sorts of web pages. I was born in Oxford.
Mm, yes, you said. Yes.
In the Banbury Road, which is now it was a nursing home for women to have their babies, but it's now a nursing home for people to go when they're old.
Do you mean the Ackland?
No.
No.
Up by Marston Ferry.
Oh, up there. Yes.
My mother said that when she was having me, she could see the traffic lights on Marston Ferry from the birthing room.
The road must have only just been built then, wasn't it, the Marston Ferry Road? It was quite a new road. I don't know when that road was built. I know that when my parents-in-law were students in Oxford in the 40s and 50s, the Marston Ferry Road didn't exist.
I was born in 46. Three.
Oh, well, that road wasn't built until after that. There may have been some traffic lights because there will have been a road. It's just that there was a ferry. There was a physical ferry over the river. There wasn't actually a road.
This is from a very old lady telling me this.
Anyway, sorry, that's we've wandered off slightly. So let's go back. So you had, the computing service.
Would you like a cup of coffee? Or tea, or...
That would be lovely, thank you. I'll just... that's going. Right, yes. So we were in the computing service. This question was bound to come up sooner or later, but it might as well come up now. So it sounds as though there was you and there was Carol. So running the computing service was something that was... A very feminine activity, it seems
to
be.
No. Well, the three of us were not quite on the same level because Susan...
Was separate, yes.
Was separate, although theoretically. And Stuart Lee, who is one of the names, was there in her group initially.
Right.
He was a computing in the arts man.
I see, yes.
We had... various directors. As I said, initially John with KDF9, John Rollitt was the director.
Yes.
And he wasn't called director because Leslie Fox was director of the department. Mm. But John Ron, computer manager. Say computer manager. Mm. It was a term that wasn't used there. But after John Rollitt, we had Alan Scott. And after Alan Scott, we had several different managers. So I would have to look at the.
And you reported to them.
Yes,
I see.
There was somebody running the computing, the hardware man that ran all the computers and the networks.
Yes,
and he was my equivalent.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
There was a third one. Oh, well, of course, we had a... What was I looking for? Sorry, I get to the stage. The administrator.
Yes.
We had an administrator who dealt with the staffing in the sense of employment.
Yes.
We had an administrator, a director, a man looked after the hardware, and a man that looked after the software on all the equipment. So I looked after the users.
The users, yes.
So, and we had several different... There was an Australian when I retired. And I can't remember his name. Names are the thing that I have problems with. So... There was me at that one level and Susan theoretically, but half a level down because she was autonomous in some sense.
Mm.
And Carol was the next level down.
Yes, yes.
Were section managers.
Yes.
Yeah. We could call them section managers under me as a manager, but Susan's an odd one.
Yes, yes.
And
I think what I was wondering was whether, I mean, presumably your users were predominantly male, were they? Did you ever notice any kind of problem with them having to?
But on the whole, no. They were quite happy. It wasn't until, I suppose, they got more people who don't believe women around, but on the whole, everybody was very good. And if you gave a good service, then they kind of come back.
That's all they cared about, yes, yes.
So I actually, my responsibilities were the courses of the numerical analysis software and other things, because other software was coming in for doing statistics and things like that. So I had one bloke who was a statistician who looked after all the statistics software. So I looked after the courses and the software and the equipment in the public area. And I also looked after the equipment for the staff with the help of one of the, you know, when somebody needed a new computer, I needed an expert to tell me he needed a new computer, please. But
So at the time you started, personal computers would still not quite have come in, would they?
What we got first, once we'd moved across to Banbury Road, is terminals connected directly to the computer.
Oh, I see, yes.
First. So we had banks of terminals.
But all in the same building?
All in the same building.
So there weren't...
And we had them when we got the building down George Street in there as well.
Right.
So initially, the first thing we had was a bank of ICL equipment. The ICL machine that we had was bright orange.
What number was it? What was it?
2900. And it was bright orange. And the user area had these bright orange equipment in it so that you could talk to the machine, and it had bright orange panels on the wall, and in the machine room it was ICL colour. Can I break it a minute? Well,
just say that again because it was turned off.
We had to buy ICL equipment. We weren't allowed to buy IBM or any of the other foreign stuff, even though the engineering buildings were buying it, because this money was to develop the ICL in a sense.
Yeah, the British industry, yes.
Well, but by the time it got to ICL, it had merged all the other British ones together.
Yes, yes.
You know, it was ICT before that, and it was English Electric, Leo McConey. Mm. There was only one left, really. And as I did tell you that Leslie Fox didn't like didn't like the engineering departments having computers, because he was the computer centre. So when we moved across, we had this new computer, and all the facilities were in the big new air-conditioned building behind. I can tell you a funny story about KDF 9. When I gave the lecture, KDF 9 had no air conditioning, and it used to get very hot and dry, and it was the dryness that the equipment didn't like. So when it was very humid, they used to get all the kettles round the building and line them up in the KDF9 machine room and sit there watching them boil for steam to get the moisture up.
And were they, I mean, how reliable were these machines?
Quite. It was surprising how the KDF9 and the ICL machines, we had several ICL machines because that's all we could buy.
Mm.
So the model changed. I didn't like the ICL machines very much. But then we got a VAX computer, and I loved the VAX computer.
When was that, roughly? I'm sure that's in the archive as well.
I'm just trying to think. Mm. The KDF9 came in with me,
mm-hmm.
and then its lifespan was about 6 or 7 years, and then there was the ICL equipment, and then we got, it was towards the end of the beginning of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That they were nice little machines. I liked them, and I would teach courses on them, but I would not teach courses on the ICL machine. I didn't like it, because I taught some of the courses.
So one thing I just need to get straight in my head: the all the computers that Leslie Fox's group were using, were they in the Banbury Road computer room?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, although they'd split, sorry, the actual machine.
No, we left the old machine behind.
Yes.
And the new one was put in the brand new building built for it on the other side of the road.
But the American analysis people still use your machine, as it were.
Even
though you were not in the same department.
Every academic was entitled to use our machine.
Right.
The only people that didn't use it were the admin and the libraries. They both had their own equipment.
Oh,
and
see.
Everybody else could use ours.
Mm.
But in some science departments, they had equipment as well, because they were specialist equipment for their science. Sometimes they used us and sometimes they used theirs.
Mm. Mm.
Like when we had VAX machines, there were lots of VAX machines all around the university, so if theirs broke down, can I use yours? But so we went through. So VAXes were American, so we eventually, ICL fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
What we had to do. Courses on our main machines to teach them how to use it.
Yes, yes.
And we also taught people how to use we started off with BBC micros.
Oh yes.
They actually started off as being terminals to the main machine. And we had to teach people how to use BBC micros. So we had to start teaching micros as well. People buy them and they want to know how to use them. So we did courses. I taught a course called Kermit. Don't ask me why it's called Kermit. It has no connection with the little green frog, as far as I know. But it was a piece of software which allowed you to transmit your stuff on your micro to the mainframe via another piece of equipment.
Mm, mm.
And I taught them how to do that off the BBC micros.
And was that using BASIC?
No, there was a program. Kermit was a written program.
Oh, Kermit was an actual language. Yes, yes.
You click on Word, you click on Kermit.
I see. Yes, yeah.
And it does it.
Right.
But I did some teaching, usually fairly odd teaching. And I didn't do any more NAC. Well, I did a bit. I finished off what the project we were doing.
Mm.
And then I never did another algorithm. I had my hands full with all these things.
Yes.
And
do you continue to maintain contacts with other universities who were doing the same kind of thing that you were doing? Was there a network of user support people who talked to each other?
When it was the big machines, that was easier. But people started having multiplicity of machines, and the network sort of gave way because a lot of the stuff was being done professionally, and you paid for it and put it on a machine, and you didn't have to build the software anymore. You just bought it. It was when we started with NAC that we were doing the big project, which went worldwide, which amazed me. I don't expect any of my software survived because methods change, languages change, techniques of producing the output change. It was very much... You got numbers in and numbers out.
Yes, yes.
And now you, especially with things like statistics, you get lots of diagrams and all sorts of things out of the software you get in. So it's a very different from when we started NAG.
Mm,
but we were a founder. There was another similar thing in the States, but Americans bought NAG, so it might have been better than what was in the States. But you'd have to talk to NAG about that, because all I did was produce Fortran and algorithms that you fitted into your program and called.
And so just moving on again with the technology, you were obviously at the computing service when the personal computer came in. Did that change very much the way you supported the users?
My desk had one personal computer there and one link to the VAXes there on my desk, and I had two machines. By 1997... we weren't that far ahead with the personal computers.
I'm sure I had an Apricot by the late 80s. I was using an Apricot.
I didn't have a home computer. I was not going to come home and play with computers all night. So I didn't have a machine till I bought a little the original little Apple home with a minute screen.
Yes, yes, the kind of little
part. Yes, yes. I had an old little Apple which I used to play with at home. And then I went into running IBM. The computing service didn't approve of Apple.